Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 18. And my flute, I'm using my old flute. I got a new flute a couple months ago, around the holidays, and I've hardly played it. And it's in much better shape. But the reason is because this old flute is kind of trashed, needs to be repaired. But the new flute I'd have to take care of. I'd have to really care for it, and so I'm not playing it. How's that for logic? How's that for laziness and logic? I bought a new flute. I bought the flute, new flute as a backup in case this one doesn't work. Because I can, the opening flute sequence today, I admit, wasn't as good as normal because this flute is going. I should probably just use the new flute and care for it. Care for it. You know, you have to be very careful or caring to your instruments. And I'll probably do that. I'm gonna make that a goal. How's that a new goal for me? To use my new flute and put the old flute in retirement until I can have it repaired at some point. It's gonna cost some money to get it repaired, but it's okay. It's okay. Today in Los Angeles, it's a beautiful day here, 61 degrees. What am I, the weatherman? Allergies. Last couple days, a little allergenic here. Other people getting allergenic. I don't know. Around here, like I talked about a few weeks ago, the tree outside my window, I had a former neighbor that was allergic to that. I don't know if I'm allergic to that or there's something floating in the air. Just, you know what happens. Things bloom. Who knows? Who knows? Many people are getting colds. Some people don't even know. Is this a cold or a cold or an allergy? I can't tell. Sometimes you can't tell right away. It feels like a cold, but then it turns out to be an allergy. Or it feels like an allergy, it turns out to be a cold. You know, it kind of fools you, but, you know. But eventually, you know, after a day or so, you're going to know whether it's a cold or an allergy. Okay? And you'll just feel it. You'll just know. There'll be a little voice whispering inside you that goes, "It's a cold. It's an allergy." Just a bizarre week over here at the building. Got an email. I was talking last week about the hierarchy of this place. Lee being the owner, his younger brother, a former very successful comedian, Mark, is the overall manager in terms of he manages, kind of oversees a bunch of buildings that the owner owns. And there's Gus, the on-site manager that's rarely on site. And Mark, I mentioned, is a hothead kind of guy. He's gotten into it. It's well documented. He's gotten into it with tenants, not only in this building, but in other buildings. And personally, him and I have gotten into it. But I don't want to get into it with him. But he sent me an email this past week. And the subject was complaints about cigar smokes. Right off the bat, I know it's not going to be a great email. I think I've mentioned before, I smoke cigars. Maybe I haven't. I don't know. This is my 18th episode, and I don't memorize everything I've done. Although I'm, you know, doing this to mine for comedy material, I'm going to have to go through all this stuff and figure out what I can use for stand-up. And anyway, I digress. He sends me this email about complaints about my cigar smoke, and I'm expecting some kind of vitriolic, is that the right word? You know, hostile kind of email. But it wasn't. He was just saying that, there's been some complaints about your cigar smoke, and as you know, we don't allow smoking in the common areas of the building. I've mentioned that we have, I live in sort of a courtyard situation, and my door opens into the courtyard. But ever since they kind of put that, you know, no smoking in the common areas, I have kept my door closed when I smoke my cigars, and I'm sitting near my window, and so, and I know the guy upstairs who saw his body parts or whatever he's doing, he doesn't care about the cigar smoke. So I was a little confused, and he said, we're asking you to keep your door closed. That's what he's asking. And he wasn't hostile, which was, new for him. And so I wrote him back, and I said, hey, I am keeping my door closed. I've been doing that since you put out the thing about no smoking in the common area. I've been doing that, and I'm sorry it's bothering people. I got my door closed, and I didn't hear any more from him. And, you know, and I was, you know, one of my friends was saying, you know, in this country, we have it so good that people just look for things to complain about. Now, I could see if, you know, if you're allergic to smoke or it's going right in your face or I don't know. But, I mean, I'll give you an example of some of the complaints that I've heard about in this building. There's a guy that lives, you know, not far from me. I was telling him about, we were talking about something else. And, oh, I'll get to that in a minute, about the noise the workers were making this week. And he said, he asked me if I have earplugs. And I said, I don't, you know. He said, you got to get earplugs. He goes, I got them. I use them, you know, because he goes, if I try to sleep in, like on my day off, he said, and the guys upstairs, and they take a shower, their shower makes too much noise. The shower, what is the shower screaming? Screaming, what's that, a screaming shower? How's a shower making too much noise? I don't understand this. Unless it's just, you know, vibrating the pipes or something like that. And then there was another complaint. Oh, and then there was these other guys. I was told actually by, was it, who was it? Somebody else. Well, one of the workmen here told me that one of the guys that do, you know, handyman stuff around here told me that it's a couple of the neighbors that were complaining about the lights in front of the building shining into their window. You know, it's just like, really? I mean, have you heard of drapes? Have you heard of blinds? I mean, what, you know, what's next? The sky, you know what? The rain that came down the other day, it was, I want to put a complaint in because the rain, it was too hard and it kept me up all night. Could you do something about the rain? And the sun in the morning shines in my, will you tell the sun to stop shining in my window? These people are nuts. They're crazy. So I was confused about this complaint about the cigar smoke. Because, like I said, I've been very diligent in not, you know, in not keeping my door open. You know, I've sacrificed my own apartment and my own clothing, so I smell like a damn cigar all the time. But I do plan on giving them up, hopefully soon, at some point. Because, you know, I don't want to smell like cigars all the time. So, I finally ran into Gus, I guess it was yesterday, something like that, day before, I think it was yesterday. And, you know, Gus, the on-site manager who's rarely on-site. And I said, hey, Gus, I got this email from Mark, and he's telling me that there's complaints about my cigar smoke. And he was like, what? What are you talking about? I said, well, I would have figured it would have gone to you, and then you would have told Mark. He goes, no. He goes, no. There was complaints about cigarette smoke upstairs, because there's a couple of cigarette smokers, and one of the attendants complained about smelling cigarette smoke in the hallway up there. Perhaps somebody had their door open or whatever, or came out through their door. And so I go, really? So he just gets this complaint, and then he just throws me into this mix and just what kind of thought process? What kind of brain does this guy have? This guy is such a liability to this company. And so I'm trying to think, what do I do? And I was having a therapy session with my therapist. We didn't get to it this week, but she said, you know, sounds like you got some issues with this. We should work on this. And, you know, of course, it's going to go back to my childhood and some kind of weird thing that happened to me. And I'll deal with that. But, you know, so that it doesn't drive me crazy. But I was trying to think, how do I deal with this guy? Like, I was thinking, if I see him, I'm going to say, look, dude, I don't want to, listen, you are... You have no more. We do not talk anymore. Unless it's an emergency or something, don't get in touch with me. If somebody complains about me, then you can talk to me. But if you're getting a complaint about something else and you're just like, this will be a good time to throw Al into the mix with the cigar thing, well, then you're just crazy. You're just out of your mind. And just, you know, so I don't know. I don't want to get too involved in this, you know, especially... You know, they're trying to make this into a non-smoking building, but it is, it wasn't a non-smoking building when I moved in. And so my understanding is that we're grandfathered in, when you live, like if I was to move into a new place, now there's a statewide law that you can't smoke in any buildings. But if you're already there and you've been already there, then you're kind of grandfathered in, which incidentally, the only time anything old is cool is when it's grandfathered in. That's when it's like, oh, it's grandfathered in. That's cool, right? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't think anything's going to happen. You know, he never respond. I didn't expect him to respond. I said, well, you know, he wasn't really hostile. But if he gets hostile with me, then I'll just tell him, listen, you can't talk to me anymore. Because I can't afford to lose my temper. Because then I get a temper hangover for 2 days. And it's just not good for me. What else is going on here? Well, like I mentioned last week, we're saying goodbye to the pool. And they brought in these workers, these three, I'm assuming Mexican guys, they're Latino. And I'm assuming at least two of them are undocumented workers because, you know, English is not even a second language to these guys, okay? But, you know, I like those guys. I mean, I would kid around with them. I know a little bit of Spanish. And they work really hard. And, and it was really noisy. They had this jackhammer that they had to use. And for the first week or so, week and a half, the jackhammer was used intermittently. So, there'd be like, 15, 20 minutes of jackhammering. And then it would stop. So it wasn't too bad. And since, I'm here during the day. So it wasn't too bad. And plus, I could close my door and muffle the sound. But what happened was on Thursday of this past week, around 12:30 in the afternoon, these guys, the jackhammer started. And at first I thought, all right, well, that's the jackhammer they've been using for the last 2 weeks. So what? It'll be over in like 15, 20 minutes. And I had my door open that day because I was expecting a package from UPS and I didn't want to miss it. I just want to be able to get the package. So the jackhammering is going on. And after about 30 minutes, I'm getting a little bit suspicious because it's not ending. And then when it hit 45 minutes an hour, I was like, oh my goodness, this thing is not ending anytime soon. This is like a jackhammer marathon. We are in it. And so, like I said, I kept my door open because I'm waiting for this package. And usually when I get a package from UPS, they'll come like anywhere from like, say, 11 in the morning to like 1:30 in the afternoon. So, but this day they didn't. They had a replacement driver, substitute driver, I found out later on. So the jackhammering keeps going on and on and on. And occasionally it would come tone down a little bit, it would just be like idling. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm getting a little bit of break. And I would go back up. And I pretended in my mind that I was a prisoner of war and I was being tortured. And so I could actually deal with this. And it turned out I was reading. I was reading. I mean, it wasn't much else I could do. I mean, I couldn't talk on the phone. I got a phone call in the middle of this from a guy. And a guy says, hello, is this Al Berman, please? And I go, well, who's speaking? He goes, this is the LA Times calling. And I go, oh, well, you know what? As you can hear, I mean, you can hear there's a big jackhammer going on. I can't really talk to you right now. And he goes, are you getting the LA Times delivered to you? I go, do you hear what I'm just saying? That I can't talk to you now because the jackhammer is going. I mean, that's not a good a sales guy. He's not, you call me back if you want to try to sell me something at a more opportune time. Don't try to sell me something in the middle of a jackhammer marathon, And I was like, dude, I gotta go. I could hardly hear you, and I probably don't want the LA. I don't probably don't want the LA Times. I don't want the LA Times delivered to my door. I've told them that about 47,000 times in the last 10 years. But every once in a while, I guess, I think I've even told them to take me off the list, but I don't think that works. So finally, the jackhammer kept going on and on and on. And then at 4 o'clock, so 3.5 hours into the jackhammering, the UPS guy shows up and he brings my package in and he's like, he looks at me, he goes, how can you take this noise? I go, it's going to end soon. And he was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. This sound, it's crazy. And then he left. And at the exact moment that he left, and I kid you not, the exact moment that he left, the jackhammer stopped for good. And it was over. These guys were done. And I like to say that these guys, you know, not only made noise during the week when they were working, they made, you know, they would make whatever the usual worker noise, but when they would have their lunch break or whatever, or where they were bringing materials in, they were doing it on my, from my side of the building by my window, and they were they would talk real loud, and they would talk in Spanish, and they'd be like, it's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I've got the loud Russians across the hall. I got the loud Mexicanos over here. But again, I didn't, I never got mad at these guys. I wasn't going to ever get mad at these guys. These guys were, they work hard. And if they are undocumented, we should find a way to document these people and get some taxes out of them. And that's what I, that's my, my theory. Because they're coming here for a reason. If things are so bad in our country, they need to come here. So let's make them citizens, or if we can't make them citizens, citizens, if we can't make them citizens right away, then let's at least give them some kind of something, an undocumented pass, and tax them, okay? So we can get some money, so we can not go broke. That's my view on that. So, and then I talked to them. You know, around I was leaving the house around 4:35, and I said, "Well, is that it? Are you guys gonna be here tomorrow?" And they go, "No, no, they're done." The one guy that could actually speak some English told me, "No, no, finito, finito." So, which is not English, is it? Finito is finished. Finito. So, so they're done, and now I guess the next phase is they're gonna bring somebody in to pave it and then put a fountain in or whatever. So. I don't know what kind of noise that's going to be, but I have a feeling that the worst noise is over. That's just my feeling. Next up on my agenda, Twitter. I want to address the whores of Twitter. The whores. Who is of Twitter? I'm finding, you know, there's always whores on the internet. MySpace had them where they come after you and they're trying to sell you some kind of whore thing. Facebook, I had them for a while where they want to be your friend, but they're really, they're just trying to get you to go to some kind of webcam site and pay money to watch them dance in their underwear. And now, but the Twitter whores are more confusing because what they do is they'll follow me, you know, on Twitter. And I'm up to 19 followers at this point. And I'm still haven't been able to crack the Twitter code. And I got to chill on it. I'll figure this out or I won't figure it out, whatever. But they'll follow me. Then as a courtesy, I'll follow them, and then they'll unfollow me. But the thing that's really confusing is that they don't seem to be selling. And how do I know the whores, you're saying? Al, why are you assuming these women are whores? Well, their websites are like, you know, www.whore.com, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, www.letshavesex. I mean, come on. They're young, hottie women, or seemingly, because that's what their pictures are. And but what they tweet is like, you know, deep philosophical tweets. I don't understand. It's just like stuff they like go, wow, this is interesting. Oh, this is cool. Wow, this girl is kind of deep. And I don't know what the point is. Nobody's trying to sell me anything. But I finally got over the pissed off with them, you know, getting them following me and I follow them and then they drop me and I'm just following them. So I've dropped them all. You know, and if any whores come, they can follow me, but I'm not following you, whores. No Twitter whores, no following you. You can follow me. Who's following you, Al? Who's following you? It's the Twitter whores. Alrighty. So, I had another thing that happened this week. My friend Jason and his wife are expecting their firstborn child. It's very exciting for them. They know it's going to be a boy. They've already named him. And that's great. And, Jason sent me the ultrasound. I didn't ask for it, but he sent an email of his ultrasound, which, you know, was fine. I mean, I know he's excited. I didn't know what to say because really there wasn't really much you could see. It's very dark. You can kind of see ahead, you know. I wrote back saying, "Hey, he looks like a good-looking kid." You know, I mean, I don't really know what the appropriate response is when you see something like that because, like I said, it's really dark. It looks like he's on the moon. You're just like, looks like the moon. Well, your son is on the moon. And, you know, so, the reason I mentioned moon, it reminds me of like when these crazy conspiracy theory people, and listen, I'm one of them. I'm into some of this conspiracy. Some of these I think are true, and some of them I think are hogwash. But a lot of them are fun, and sometimes they're just downright crazy. But sometimes with conspiracy theory people, they'll show you photos and they'll point to stuff like, see, here's the structures on the moon. And you're going, I don't see anything. I see like nothing. I see a little hole. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's sort of like with this, I'm going, you see the kid? And I go, I don't know. I see something that looks like a tadpole with a big head, you know, but, I'm looking forward to meeting him and knowing this kid. I'm going to end with this, I think. Yeah, I'm going to end with this. Then the weirdest thing happened, like about a day or two later. Jason again. I was talking to this friend of mine, Joey, and Jason came by. And we're talking, right? And then Jason takes out his phone. He goes, I got to show you something. I want to show you something. He goes, my wife would kill me if I showed this to you. I'm like, what could this be? And he's got a picture on his phone of his, like, 8-month wife. I guess she must be about 8 months or 7, 8 months pregnant. His 8-month wife, completely naked, but covering her, you know, her top and her bottom, like in the old Demi Moore photo. And I guess, was it Ashley Simpson or somebody else did something like that recently? And I was aghast. I was like, well, first of all, I have to say this. I do not have a pregnant woman fetish. I know that there's a fetish for everything out there. And there's guys that are into pregnant women. I'm not one of them. You know, I'm not usually attracted to pregnant women. And his wife is, I always thought she's adorable. I never thought of her in terms of anything, you know, intimate, because, you know, whatever. Maybe I'm blocking it out. But the point is, now, when I saw this picture, I got a little bit turned on. I don't know. I got holy mackerel. I kind of want to be with this woman now. And I don't know what is the appropriate response to this kind of inappropriate, you know, act. I mean, I don't even know why he's doing this. Is this some, you know, should I ask him? Hey, listen, you know, you think I could call her sometime? You know, you think like I could, like, you know, just say, hey, what's up? You know, just thought I'd say what's up, if you ever, you know, you need to go shopping, you know, just you and me, you know, we could do that. And we looked at that, and then that was that. You know, the next day, I was talking to Joey, and I said, Joey, you know, do you think that picture was kind of whack that Jason showed it to us? And he goes, no, man, I think pregnant women are beautiful. I go, but I know, but it's like, I know, but it just seemed like kind of strange. And then I was telling this other friend of mine who wasn't there, and he had an interesting reaction. He said, hey, do you think Jason would let me see this picture? That's what he said. So it's, if you want to see this picture, let me know and I'll have Jason email it to you. Well, I think that is the podcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I always like to thank my listeners, getting some really great response. Still trying to find out how to take it to the next level to draw more listeners in. But I guess, you know, the people who are listening, if you want to tell people about it, yeah, that would be one way to start. Word of mouth, you know, people, you know, talk to people and they say, hey, you know, this guy's pretty cool podcast. I'd appreciate that. And, it's free. It's always going to be free. I can't imagine they would ever charge for this, you know, I was sure, you know, can you imagine? Oh, anyway. Trying to charge for this. I mean, I probably could charge for this eventually. I mean, some people charge for this, but my thing is give it away. Give it away, give it away, give it away, baby. So, Again, thanks everybody for listening. I'm enjoying doing this immensely. This is just a great thing, great creative venture for me. And until next week, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.